Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 29, first paragraph, which starts further on, reading through the second paragraph, which ends with, actually happened in their lives. Today's readers, we have reading the 12 steps, Anne Marie M., the 12 traditions, Jen P., reader of the text is Rena L., page 164, Tony B., the backup today is Susan S.H., our newcomer reader is Christina L., reading announcements is Leslie M., and hoping to hear from our second hour host shortly. The reference number for yesterday, for Monday, April 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,343, that's 23343. For our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the code is 23,344, that's 23344. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne Marie M. to please come on in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Anne Marie.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. I'm now going to ask Jen P. to please come in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Jen.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Jen P. Grateful to live in There is a Solution today. The 12 traditions. Tradition 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic in literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement on sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume the study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 29, the first paragraph, which starts further on, reading into the second paragraph, which ends as actually happened in their lives. I'm now going to ask Rena L. to please come in and start reading. Come on in, Rena.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Rena, a recovered compulsive overeater. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. I guess I just get started. What sticks out to me in the reading first is just clear-cut directions, and it, to me, it's a promise that this is a textbook. It's going to tell me what to do to solve my problem. And the word recovered, which used to make me bristle when you all introduced yourselves as recovered blankety blank, recovered compulsive eater, and it made me feel like I was in a cult, which is hilarious because. Me finally understanding, you know, that the goal is to become recovered. And to me now I view it as so much hopeful and promise when I see that word. And I'm grateful that I had a shift with that. And then what next I want to mention is how it talks about it gives a fair cross-section and how radically inclusive the Big Book is and that it's all for a spiritual purpose, to help as many people as possible, that's our mission, and to be of service and help as many of us become recovered as possible. And I really love that. My understanding of the Big Book is that it says that we must be convinced first that we have this thing, you know, not talked into it, not pressured, convinced, like in my gut, in my bones. And then in this reading, it talks about that we talk about what actually happened in our lives. not theoretically, not promised, what actually happened. And it reminds me of my first, and that's how it, that's the only thing that's ever convinced me and also offered me real hope. Is not someone pontificating on how the steps work, though I need that. But what gets me in my bones is people's story. My very first OA meeting, only one person showed up. Told you how important it is to show up, because all it took was one person. And she said that she hadn't binged in 3 months, and I did not believe her. I was like, there's no way. If you have what I have, you can't go a day. And as she started to tell me her story, I had just enough hope that it got me to my next OA meeting. And at that meeting, the people I met at that meeting 20 years later are still my closest friends through moves, through so many life changes, that initial hope of just someone sharing their story. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that that this program works. So I'll keep coming back. Thanks.
Tina, thank you so much for getting us started. I'm now going to take some names. Please give me your first name and your initial of your last name. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday on either meeting, we ask that you hold back. So please press star 1 to unmute your phone, and I'm ready to take our first lineup.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Larry K.
Good morning. I have Bonnie and Larry.
Mary B. from the UK.
Who's from the UK?
Mary B.
Mary, and I have Melissa. Was Melissa after Larry?
Melissa C. Thanks.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay, so we have Bonnie, Larry, Melissa, and Mary. Would anyone else like to join the first lineup? Press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Vasa O.
Thank you, Vasa.
Christina L.
Thank you, Christina.
Finney S. from New York.
Okay.
Finney S.
Suzanne.
From New York.
I have
Suzanne
Vale. Suzanne. Did you hear another voice after
yes.
Suzanne?
Yeah. Gail H. from Seattle.
Vinny.
Hey, that's a great.
S from New York.
Hey, Vinny. I have you, Vinny. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You're going to go after Christina L. Okay, so here's our first lineup, everyone. We have Bonnie B, Larry.
Seattle.
Okay, I'm going to read the first lineup. Bonnie B, Larry K, Melissa C, Mary from the UK, Vasa O, Christina L, Vinny S, Suzanne M, and Gail H. Bonnie, please come in and share with us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, Rena, for the beautiful opening share. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida, recovered today by the grace of God and only the grace of God. What a beautiful, beautiful chapter this is. I can remember coming into the program and focusing 100% on what do I got to do? 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 And this chapter, this paragraph tells us there are clear-cut directions. There are things that I have to do. But at the base of all of that, which I sort of got sidetracked on, was the need to connect to God. And because I came in with a solid faith, I felt like I had that connection. So it was really muddy for me, very muddy. And yet there were things that were blocking me from hearing from God. I call them monkeys in my head, right? Causes, conditions, all these different things the big book talks about. And it's the clear-cut directions that showed me what I needed to do to unblock that. But bottom line is I have to connect to God. I have to connect to God, because if I don't connect to God at that deep soul level, it's not going to happen. If I don't clear away by using the clear-cut directions, the things that separate me from Him, and it all starts in my head, ends up in the pantry, but starts in my head, I will never be able to live recovered, and I equate that as emotionally sober. Recovery to me is emotional sobriety. It's where life can do life and it doesn't get me. I don't feel the need to medicate because I can immediately put it back into that third step prayer and follow the directions, which is to, you know, work it through a 10th step and figure out what it really is, which for me, again, it's not what's in that first column. It's not what my brain tells me it is. It's what's in that fourth column on that resentment form. It's my perception of it. And underneath that always is insecurity and selfishness and self-seeking and all of it's driven by fear because I don't have that connection with God that I need to have. When I have that connection with God, all is well. Thy will be done, not mine. All is well. And so I love this book. I love this chapter. I love every single paragraph because it helps us to dive into what it is. And then the idea of the relationships. And I'll close with this. Every single person that I spoke with when I first came in, and it remains the same today, we all have stories. And the stories are what helped me to lean in, as Rena had said. It gave me hope for the first time. And that led me closer to God. And so I will pass with that. And thanks, everyone. Blessings.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Melissa C., and then Mary from the UK. Come on in, Larry.
Hey, Kathy. Thanks so much. And thanks for getting us started, Rena. I'm Larry K., recovered from Chicago. So, yeah, I owe a lot of gratitude to the person in OA who had me open the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous to the table of contents. It was such a simple thing, really, and yet ultimately it was very powerful. It laid out the structure of the text in a simple and understandable way, and I'm not one who would read the table of contents. I don't know about you. And it was a game changer in my trajectory towards recovery. And to this day, I try my best to remember to do this with sponsees. So clear-cut directions. When I turn to the table of contents in the big book, just beyond the forewords, we see the sequence of the chapters starting beyond the forewords, starting with the doctor's opinion. He had me group the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there is a solution, and more about alcoholism. And in that order, he said, just to the right of it on the table of contents, write step one for all of those chapters. Step one. I'm not saying they don't go over other things there, but that's step one stuff. The powerless nature of my disease, the unmanageability. Then moving down in succession, we agnostics, step two. Yeah, you could argue, yeah, but what about this, Larry? What about that? No, we agnostics for me, step two. How it works? Steps three and four, the instructions for steps three and four. Into action, he says, write steps 5 through 11. And then working with others, an entire chapter devoted to step 12. And I've heard it said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. No map, take any road you want. Walk in circles, do cartwheels, I don't care. You're never going to arrive at a destination. No, I need a clear destination. When I lead a big book retreat, the one thing that can't be mired in confusion, the one thing that can't be buried under all the, you know, the myths that steer people towards what the program isn't rather than what it is, I'll tell you what that one thing is. How do we get well? It's got to be clear. How to recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. There shouldn't be any confusion on that. See, we owe anyone who's dying a slow death in this disease the truth. Not my opinion framed as fact, but the truth as laid out in the text. And I try my best to keep it simple and keep it kind. No hammer to the head. Bill Wilson called it spiritual kindergarten. Another fellow who is a pioneer of a vision for you said, this is like one big show and tell operation. It's all in the demonstration of who we are. When you show them what God did for you, there's not a lot of telling necessary, right? Demonstration is worth hundreds of explanations, but I need a roadmap. This gives me a roadmap in the text. That's why we study it every day. Thank goodness. I appreciate you guys. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Illinois. And before Melissa comes on, I just want to let everyone know We are on page 29, and there is a solution. First paragraph, which starts further on through the second paragraph, which ends with, has actually happened in their lives. Next up, we have Melissa C., followed by Mary, and then Vasa O. Come on in, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kathy. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and, you know, I love the question, how did I establish my relationship with God, you know, because that is what this book is about, you know. I tell, you know, that I'm a practitioner of this book, and this book says that that's the purpose, to get a relationship with God. You know, so I try not to tell what, you know, necessarily in my story, what I eat, what I don't eat, like, you know, those sort of things, although they're important. I really want to talk about how I got a relationship with God. And, you know, for me, and I think for any one of us that tells our story this way, we get it in measured increments. We get it through the steps. These are the steps we took to establish that relationship with God so that we could have a spiritual awakening. And for myself, you know, I think, like, how did I get this relationship with God? And, you know, for, I mean, I'll say it, like, number one, I cried out for help. Like, I took a real step one where I cried out, like, in my car. I remember saying, like, God, help me. I'm in trouble. You know, I was eating till my mouth bled. I knew what I shouldn't eat. I knew what I shouldn't do, and I couldn't stop myself from doing it. And I asked for help. And I didn't care, really, at that point, what form it came in. And then, you know, I received it, and I was willing to make the effort, right? And then I took step two. I questioned God's existence. I did. I thought, you want me to sort of form my own conception? You want me to make up God? And but my thinking is broken. Like, I sort of played this mental gymnastics to sort of think my way out of it. And I heard a voice in my head that said, you want to get better or not? And, you know, to me, it sounded like my dad. And this was part of how I established my relationship with God. I wanted to get better. And I didn't want to think my way out of getting better, you know, which meant I surrendered. I was like, okay, I don't know. You know, what do I know about anything? I don't even know how many blueberries to eat. You know, that sort of became my position. And then I think really my fifth step, I think about what happened when I told another person the things that were killing me inside, that I had so much shame about and so much pain that I was walking around with. And I told another person, and they didn't shame me. They didn't tell me I'm a piece of crap. You know, they gave me love and direction. And those were, you know, I know I'm out of time, but those are like the measured increments of how I came to get a relationship with God. And I'm grateful that I have that. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Mary, when you come in, just give me the first initial of your last name, please. After Mary, we have Vasa and then Christina. Mary, please come in and share with us.
Oh, thank you. My name's Mary B. Mary B for Bravo. And I'm a recovered compulsive eater in the UK. And I'm grateful to be part of the meeting today. I am also grateful to have heard about the clear-cut directions. It's something that I return to as a guardrail for my own recovery and in carrying the message to others. And the clear-cut directions are something that just work. And there is a lot of testimony in the book and in how I've received the message myself around what it actually means to recover, which is not about having a perfect weighed and measured food plan, which is something that I thought it was about for many years. It's actually about surrendering to what it is for me to be a compulsive eater. And that does mean that I need clarity, consistency, and most of all, honesty with regard to my abstinence. But it means more than that. It means that I need that ongoing relationship with that power greater than myself, and the only way I get that is the clear-cut directions. I call that power God, and I have a relationship, a personal relationship with the God of my understanding, which I had for many years with regard to my AA and recovery, but has been a slower, gradual surrender in OA. I am grateful that I've had the opportunity to allow my absence to evolve and now to know truly what it means to be recovered. And to be honest, and I had a recent experience where I wondered whether I could be more flexible, and I realised that actually it wasn't honest and it wasn't abstinent for me. And now I'm grateful to walk in the light of the truth of what true surrender means for me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to working with others around what their true surrender looks like, and continuing to keep going in this program for many, many years to come. And I love the joy of walking alongside other people shoulder to shoulder and hearing what I can learn from them. You know, I like to talk, but it's most important for me to listen and really get humble and honest and learn from everybody who's been in my life on a fellowship level, a reason, a season, a lifetime. So grateful for my teachers and my fellows, and for those who walk with me in this journey of recovery. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. I pass.
Mary B., thank you so much. It's Mary B. from the UK. Next up, we have Vasa, Christina, followed by Vinny. And remember, on page 29, the first paragraph, we're reading the two paragraphs there. Come on in, Vasa.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from I'm Florida, Port Charlotte, Florida. Get confused a little bit. Okay, yes, clear-cut directions. Even before I came to the program, I remember praying to God, which that meant I was looking for God because I didn't know how to find God. So I remember coming home from shopping one time. I just felt so overwhelmed with life and everything, and I didn't know. I didn't know about the disease of a compulsive overeating. Although I tried to control it for years and years, I didn't know the allergy of the body. But anyways, I remember outreaching to God and saying, please, God, show me where you are. If you're out there, show me where you are. Give me a sign. Give me a sign where to find you. Well, not too long after that, I was brought to Overeaters Anonymous. And that was the sign of God. Okay, I found out I had a disease, was called compulsive overeating. I had the allergy of the body. I had the mental obsession. And I admitted the first three steps. I didn't even have to go through the first three steps. I admitted I was powerless over the food. My life became unmanageable. I came to believe that I was already looking, even before I came to the program. I was looking for God. I just did not know how to find them. Number three, made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. And there was really nothing more that I wanted at that time than to, surrender to God with the food addiction. I wasn't ready to surrender with my life and will in other areas. I thought I was doing a great job, being in control freak. I could manage everything. But it had to start with the food addiction. I'm grateful my sponsor, for 1 week, she sponsored me. She told me about the steps, about food addiction, the allergy. There was a name for it. I said, okay, it's like people when they have cancer, suffer, and then find a solution. They treat the cancer. Well, I needed to be treated for my disease, and right here, I started with the big book, and I was ready and willing to surrender to a power greater than myself. I did not want to die, so I did it all at once. God, I surrender. It's in page 40, 40, 8. I know my time, 40, 48. It's, I don't have time to find it. Sorry. I needed to find power greater than myself, and that's what I did. And the big book, it's clear cut direction. I started right from the beginning, and you know, the solution, the allergy, and I threw myself in the program, and I threw myself in God. But I had a hard time to say I was recovered in OA, because a lot of people, and then I felt very frustrated because I said, well, I'm not into the food addiction. I am working the 12 steps. I'll wrap it up. I started saying, I'm recovered when I came to the vision for you. And I feel so good to say that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O from Florida. Next up, we have Christina, followed by Vinny, and then Suzanne M. Come on in, Christina.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. And I have just been loving all the shares the last couple of days as we've wrapped up this chapter. You know, one of the things, well, the first thing that really popped out at me in reading this paragraph, the first paragraph, was clear-cut directions. And it brought me back to when I first was going through the steps for the very first time, and I was using the OA 12 and 12. But I was exposed to the big book because that was the meeting that I had come into, was a big book study meeting, and I wanted to use the big book. I remember like just studying the pages on the four step and how it works, like trying to understand how to do the four step inventory, and I just could not get it. And I've heard it said that if you want to hide something from a compulsive overeater or an alcoholic, to put it in the big book. And Larry's breakdown of the steps was just like perfect. And you know, thank God I know that today, but man, I could not figure it out for the life of me. And it wasn't until I came to this meeting that a recovered sponsor took me through the steps and pointed out all the clear-cut directions, starting from the beginning of the book. And I had a relationship with God when I came into program, but my relationship was very sick. And sometimes today it can still be very sick and stuff, where I think that my God, or I don't think that my God is punishing, but I sometimes get into that old mindset that I was brought up with, you know, with the getcha God and having to be perfect and, you know, God's going to punish me. Like my first third step experience was incredibly traumatic because I believe that if I took the third step that that something terrible was going to happen to my family. You know, God was going to get me, and that never happened. And you know, my relationship, the longer I've been in program, my relationship with God has evolved. It's changed. I've let go of those old ideas. You know, this trip that I'm leaving for tomorrow with 14 teenagers, you know, initially, like what my disease would tell me was like, something's going to happen, you know, on the trip. You're going to get into an accident, or this is going to happen, or your son's going to have a meltdown and what have you and stuff. And I just go back to the scripture that my God brought me to after I had a trauma in my life. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And that's what I just have to remember. And just incredibly grateful for this program, for where I'm at, for the journey. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Good luck tomorrow, Christina. That's Christina L. from Florida. Next up, we have Vinny, followed by Suzanne, and then Gail. And then after Gail, I can take another lineup, and we're on page 29 in the big book, on the first paragraph, which starts further on, through the second paragraph, which ends, has actually happened in their lives. So we have Vinny, Suzanne, and then Gail. Come on in, Vinny.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Vinny from New York, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for
moderating this meeting this morning. Just getting back basically from stepping out, I relapsed. Today I'm working on day two. The principles of this program is what I'm learning that I need to follow a lot more serious than I have been. And it's a matter of life and death and just taking everything just one day at a time. I've always had a God of my understanding in my life, and I need to use the tools and apply it to my life a lot more seriously than I was. So I am truly grateful that today I am going to stay focused on what I need to do. This program and the fellowship is what shows me how it works. We don't do this alone. We do this together. So I just want to thank everyone for the service. I want to thank you for the shares in the room today. And I am truly grateful that I woke up today and I give everything to my higher power in this program. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Vinny. Vinny S. from New York. Next up, we have Suzanne M., followed by Gail H., and after Gail, I can take the second lineup. Suzanne, please come in and share with us.
Good morning. Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Kathy, so much for being in service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm so grateful. And thank you for the lead share and all the wonderful shares in between. You know, I know everybody's commenting on it, but it's clear-cut directions. So, you know, I was born and raised a Catholic girl, 12 years Catholic school. I knew about direction. Nuns are very good educators about following, teaching directions and following them. And I did that, and I had a good relationship with a higher power in my youth. And, you know, then when my disease came in, that started to change that relationship. When I let willpower and self-power become more important than my higher power, my life changed. And I, you know, so clear-cut directions. I came in here. That's exactly what I needed. What I was doing was not working in my life. Okay, I was miserable. I was tied to food 24/7. I couldn't participate in my family, my life, my job. You know, everything I was kind of half-assing because only half my mind was with what I was doing. Okay, and today that's not the lead, the life I lead. So when I came in and I learned that I put down that food and I could pick that conscious contact, the greatest gift of recovery for me is for me regaining that relationship with that higher power that I had as a child. You know, that God that I thought had left me out there suffering, and it turned out he was with me all along. So today, like that looks like in my life, like we just saw, celebrated for me one of the biggest sugar holidays of the year. And, you know, I was able to go to my family celebration and I was able to participate. And, you know, I was able to be around baskets and help my sister's grandbabies with opening things. And I was able to feed dessert to one of those babies. And I was able to get my meal, go get my meal. I didn't have a way to measure, but, you know, I know portions. You know, I often don't do that, but I didn't take my scale. And I had what I was supposed to have. And you know what? The rest of the day, I had family. I was listening to big bands with my father, and I was listening to modern music with the kids and watching the babies dance. And I was present in all the conversations and finding out what's going on in my nieces and nephews' lives. It brings me to tears. Brings me to tears because I would come and leave these functions and know none of this. And I'm so aware. I stood there like an observer a lot of the day, just observing the beauty that is my life today, that I have. I'll wrap it up with this, that I have all these things and I'm present for them and the wonders that God gives me every day, as long as I just do a few simple things and turn my will and life over to Him. That's all I have. I love you all. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. That's Suzanne M. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Gail H. Gail, please let us know where you're calling in from. And after Gail, I could take a second lineup. Come on in, Gail.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. And all the shares have been magnificent. I'm Gail H. from Seattle, Washington. And my journey in the program began in Chicago. And there's such a connection with those early days. But as we read, there are clear-cut directions. They were not clear-cut to me whatsoever. Confusion is the way that my disease shows up and gets in the way. And as we were talking today, I was thinking that one of the things right now that I have so much confusion with is being able to look at money in a way that I look at God. That God is here, it'll be okay, and I will learn what I need to learn. And in this past period of time, all these years of suffering the disease at a very early age, it's now brought me to a place of not being able to function in many ways. But in God's way, I'm in an assisted living, getting lots of help, but losing my way when I get fearful about the money rather than, and I think money was a god of sorts as I look back on it. A place of power, when my higher power is what I need to turn to one day at a time. And that clears some of the confusion. And it doesn't just happen with alcohol and drugs. It's kind of a direction of how to work in many things that get in my way of the sunlight, of the spirit. And yet I know, what I know is that all those years of suffering, just like all the years of suffering with alcoholism, it took 18 years of being in the program to receive this remarkable gift of abstinence for the next 38 years. And thank you, God. And thank you all for sharing. You helped me live the program, just not know. And I pass.
Thank you, Gail H. from Washington. So we have 12 minutes. We have time for four more shares. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you share it on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. And if you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute your phone, and I can take four names.
Ken W. H.
Jason K.
Thank you, Ken.
Serena.
I have Ken
Illinois.
And Jason. I have somebody
John
from
A.
Illinois.
Serena, do you hear from Jersey? Josephine
okay.
from New Jersey.
Oh. Okay, I have Ken W. H. I have Jason. I have somebody from Illinois. And somebody from New Hampshire. Can the person from Illinois please tell me what your name is?
Dawn A.
Thank you, Dawn. And the person from New Hampshire?
Serene F.
Okie dokie, we are all set. Ken WH followed by Jason. Come on in, Ken.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Ken WH, recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. I'm thankful for this paragraph, these two little paragraphs, in that they prepare me for later on when we get to how it works, and it says, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like. Here, it makes me aware and reminds me that it's my story that I'm telling when I speak. And the stories in the back of the book are individual stories. So, you know, when in chapter 5, when it says our stories disclose, I've had to retranslate that for myself because I don't want to speak for anybody else. So I say that to myself when I say our stories. I say each one of our stories. Each one of us has a story. Each one of us shares our experience, strength, and hope. And I'm a one in that respect. This is where it individualizes the story. And then those stories become a collective of which I am a part. I am one story among many. But it's my story, and it's not the same as your story. It has, we have affinity for one another. We do match up in some ways, and we do follow the same 12 steps. And yet I'm the one that has to follow them if I'm going to have a story that could possibly end up in the back of a book, or that I have a story that is of a recovered life, of what it's like to live as a new person, as a new being. And I just can't ever forget that each one of us has a story. And when I listen to yours, I listen for the connections and what I can relate to and the new things that I hear and learn, because your experience brings in new things, just as I hope mine does too. So this is a good part of the text, and I'm grateful. And I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Jason, followed by Dawn, and then Serene. Come on in, Jason.
Good morning. This is Jason K.P., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from Pennsylvania, outside of Philly here. It's almost like I texted Ken to set me up for my talk this morning, because he said a lot of what I wanted to say, but I'll elaborate a little bit. I just love this kind of idea of each individual in their personal story describes in his own language and from his point of view the way he established his relationship with God. Now, I take this very differently than, oh, there's as many ways to recover as there are people in the program. That is something I heard, you know, kind of bantered about in meetings. And sometimes in meetings, you know, we hear things that aren't really in alignment with the big book. And, you know, that was something that kind of hooked me in for a while. And I think this meeting is a powerful meeting because we come right out of the text. And when I look at this, like Ken said, we each person, we have our stories, but they're all regarding the establishment of this relationship with God all through the 12 steps. Now, some people may have this lifelong knowing that they're a compulsive eater and maybe no belief in God. I had this belief in God, and I wondered for years, am I actually a compulsive eater? Am I just a foodie, right? I wasn't that overweight. I was very athletic. And I'd leave, you know, meetings of OA and say, I don't know if I'm a compulsive eater. And when I share my story, so much of it is about step one, coming to terms with that absolute truth that I cannot control my eating. When I try to stop, my mind always brings me back to those foods, that once I start in those foods, I cannot stop. So there's this idiosyncratic for each person telling their story. So for me, for instance, secrets, like I love telling my secrets. It was a way to get close to people. Now, inventory and as written in the big book, that was a different level of sharing. So step 5 wasn't a huge revelation for me. And people in their stories, they have steps they struggle and wrestle with and they need to chew on day by day. Step 11 for me, meditation and prayer. I do it. I'm not happy about it. I need to work 10 steps all day long. I can fire them off. My brain, you know, makes up a million stories of dishonesty and fear and resentment. So our individual stories, you know, we'll hear in the back of the book, a guy tumbling to the floor, who am I to say there is no God? that came at this precise moment in time of his inner torment and his working towards establishing that relationship with God. For me, the biggest key factor was I'm powerless. I cannot do this. And I have to be willing to go to any lengths for recovery was key to my story.
That's
so
fine,
just, yeah, I'll pass right there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Jason KP from Pennsylvania. We have 5 minutes left. So if Dawn and Serene could each take 2 minutes and 30 seconds, that would be greatly appreciated. Come on in, Dawn. Please share with us.
Hi, I'm Dawn A. from Illinois. Can you hear me?
Hear you well.
Hi. Thank you, guys. Oh, my gosh. This has been an amazing meeting. Such wonderful comments. And I just appreciate all of this meeting, and I don't share that often, so I'm happy to be here. I was able to have 30 days yesterday, and I love these two paragraphs because this tells us that there's these clear-cut directions, and even though I've been trying this program for a really long time, if I do these clear-cut directions that are shown to me by my sponsor and by the people that have recovered in this program, I too can have this. And I've often heard that the way, that the reason for sponsorship is so she can take my hand and put it in the hand of my God, a God about my understanding. And that's how I can establish this relationship with God. And that has really happened. My relationship with my God has changed so much over the course of the last year and has grown. And it's because that's what her mission was, is to do that. And she has, done that. And I'm just so grateful that there's clear-cut directions on how I cannot compulsively overeat one day at a time. And the last 30 days is just proves that if I do the things that are laid out in this program, then I can have what everybody else has. So really grateful to be here, and that's all I have.
Dawn A. from Illinois, thank you so much for sharing with us. And Serene, we have 3 minutes if you'd like to share. Come on in.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for making this meeting possible. I was listening to everybody share and going back to the documents, the big book, the clear-cut directions. When I am in the recovered state, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I balance between that and restricting as the two dials I had. And it was all about vanity versus sanity. And when I went through these steps with a sponsor in the big book, the clear-cut directions were laid at my feet, and she guided me in a way that I could surrender or resist, because I don't like to read the fine print. I like to cut corners. I like to get to the results. And what was there for me was to really embrace the process. And so if you're new, or like me, you've been around for a long time.
Serene, I think you muted yourself. Please press star one, Serene.
I think I got kicked out. Are you there?
We are here. Please continue.
Okay, great. Yeah, so at the end of the day, what happened for me this past Easter weekend was I knew what I was going to eat. My family and I prayed around the table, and I asked God to come between me and any, desires, and that has worked for me. I asked God to enter my life so I can be neutral, and so there wasn't anything that was appealing to me about, my first addiction as a child, which was candy. Seeking comfort. And at the end of the day, I was demonstrating for my sister and her husband, and they showed up as heavy as I've ever seen them. And I just thought, just be a power of example. Somebody spoke about demonstration, walking the talk. And I just continued to do what I would always do, and restrain of pen and tongue. I just continued to go back to what I have learned one day at a time, and how you all share and keep me one day at a time in the program and in the solution, because I always had the obsessive thoughts, And sometimes when I'm tempted after I do that prayer, I need to go do anything except what I always have done. Anything, try something new. But I can go back and look at all the different options that are given to us in the 12th step and in the big book. And I can be of maximum service and help others, make a call, all the things that we discussed. Really, it's God's grace. And for me, one day at a time, really blessed. Thank you all for your shares as well.
Hey, Serene, before you leave, can you give me the first initial of your last name, please?
Yes, it's also S. S is in Serene, so it's Serene S, New Hampshire.
Oh, that's fabulous. Okay, thank you, Serene S from New Hampshire, for taking us out. And thank you, everyone on Team Tuesday and everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. Today's share ID for Tuesday, April 7, 2026, is 23,345. That's 23345. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tony B. please come on in and read 164 for us?
Thank you, family. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.